Hello and welcome to the Republic of Football. I'm your host, the college editor here at Dave Campbell's Texas Football, Shamal Johnson, alongside Carter Yates. How you doing, man?
We're in new digs.
New digs.
In a new studio. Look a little different right now.
Yeah, it looks a little bit more official, I guess you could say. And of course, in the other room is the lovely Mallory Hartley, everyone's favorite Mal Pal. How you doing, Mallory?
I'm doing well. It's weird. I'm like way in the other room,
yeah,
actually.
I'm
staring at you guys
room.
Right now through the control room. And it's weird because I'm used to like looking over and be like, hey, like right here. But now we're like so far apart.
I know, so far.
I know. It's, and we love the new background too. Yeah. We've got all the magazines back here. This was a great idea by none other than the Ashley Pickle.
Yeah.
So super, super pumped to be in here. And we love our new studio. It looks really freaking cool.
It looks really awesome. I mean, so a little bit behind the scenes, you mentioned a little bit before we get into the show. We were trying to figure out what we were going to do with those magazines because we had them on the back wall of the original office. And we blew out that office and expanded it. And so we're like, well, where are we going to put that? And Ashley was like, we just put it in the control room, which it really does make, instead of the black or white background that you guys are used to seeing behind Mallory or Pickle, kind of add some color to it.
I will admit, at first I was like, well, that's our main attraction in the office. Everyone comes in and loves to see that magazine wall on the back wall.
Right.
Right.
Pickle described it to me, and she put some symbolism in it. She's like, when you go to this background, this is where Dave Campbell's was and has been for years.
And now it's...
And now you look in the new studio, and this is where we are now.
Right.
Yeah.
So once she got it all meta like that, that's when I was like, I'm all for it.
Yeah. So, of course, on today's show, to give you a rundown, we will talk a little bit about some of our interesting breakout player candidates, right? These are players that aren't necessarily guaranteed to have great years, but somebody that we would probably peg. Some of them are long shots, some of them are not. I wanted to get a little bit more daring with some of these names ahead
polarizing.
Of
polarizing.
Yeah, a little bit polarizing. Some polarizing names. Of course, this could very much change at the end of spring when the transfer portal opens up. It could ruin all this. But who knows? That may lead the way for us to do another one of these in August when the season approaches or something. Spring's wrapping up. I believe a couple programs, Houston and Sam Houston, already had their spring game. I think it's one of the or not Sam
North
Houston.
Texas and SMU.
I completely got this wrong.
The Dallas area teams, not the Houston area teams.
So yes, they've already had their spring games. A lot of teams are wrapping up. And then afterward, we're gonna talk to Matt Wilson of Between Two Bears, one of our ROF podcasts. Baylor's been having an incredible recruiting time, of course, with Keenan Hall leading the charge at running backs coach. They brought in offensive coordinator Jake Spavital. It's a pivotal year for Dave Aranda. So I figured, why not bring on one of the Bears? And Matt himself, of course, out on Twitter at @MattIsBear, if you're not familiar with him. He's one of my, probably one of my favorite podcast hosts that we have for the ROF network. So, all right, let's get to it. Let's get to that topic I mentioned. Of course, spring ball is going around, and me and Craven and Carter soon will be hitting a bunch of these camps and just kind of talking with coaches, seeing practice for the first time. And that kind of got me thinking, because Craven was drinking the UTSA juice. I was drinking the Texas State juice as far as like players and interesting names. And it got me thinking like, okay, there's some names here that like people don't really know about yet that a lot of the coaches are high on. So I wanted to start with that for today. Who are your breakout candidates? We each picked two players, right? Me, Carter, and Mallory. I'm gonna start off. This one's my quote unquote obvious one, but it's still not an obvious one. I'm gonna go with Alex Kilgore at SMU. He's a linebacker. I believe at Katy Peyto, when he was a junior and senior, they won state his junior year. He was kind of a defensive end, outside linebacker, edge rusher. He's been more of the middle-ish linebacker for SMU last year. And I saw him in his first game against La Tech. I believe he had a sack, maybe two sacks, I can't remember. He's an athletic freak. He played alongside Damian Sanford, who's now at A&M, and of course DJ Hicks, who's already at A&M. That defense was insane. It was insane. And I, talking to a lot of other recruiting guys around him, they liked, obviously Hicks was the number one recruit, but they liked him a lot more than Sanford in terms of upside. And I think I see it, right? The fact they're moving him middle, or he's playing more middle, I'm very interested in. I think that shows a little bit of range in coverage and all that. But I think this SMU defense with him, he's probably going to not start right away. He might be more of a rotational piece. I think he could be very, very pivotal for a pretty good defense. That showed its kind of prowess last year.
And if it's not this upcoming year in 2024, it's 2025 for him, because he's going to be behind Kobe Wilson.
Yeah.
And Ahmad Walker, second team All-ACC guy and the leading tackler in solo tackles for Ahmad Walker there. But you described him, right? Athletic freak. Mm-hmm. This could be a guy you see break out in 2025. But I think the SMU defense is just very polarizing too, because they were so dominant in Group of Five conference play, but then we see them in the Wasabi Fenway Bowl on Wednesday at 9 a.m. and they give up 262 rushing yards to Boston College.
Right.
So the whole defense, I've got my eye on.
And now they're going to play a whole schedule of teams like Boston College and better, right? Going to the ACC. So Kilgore, I should mention, 27 solo tackles last year, 4 sacks, 1 pick. In his debut freshman year, right, he came in, I believe he came in last, after he graduated in the winter of that year, and then enrolled in spring, and then was kind of available with them. So again, these are candidates who I'm kind of pegging as watch this guy, breakout potential. So Carter, let's go to yours.
Okay, so I got two. I don't know which one I want to pick first. All right, I'm gonna keep it in not now Group of Five, for UTSA.
Okay.
Denver Harris.
Nice.
Is my breakout
candidate. I love that one.
We talk about spring ball is Kool-Aid season.
Yes.
Where you go to these camps and you see who the coaches are high on, and Craven walked into the office 2 days ago and said, Denver Harris is in for a breakout year. The coaches love how he's mentally matured. This was a Joe Price vouch.
Okay.
For Denver Harris, his former coach at North Shore, Joe Price now working at UTSA. Denver Harris will lock down one side of the field. He will be a guy that follows the number one wide receiver in the AAC and follows him to get a snow cone in the concession stand right after.
Yes.
He's the most talented guy that will come through UTSA's program. The question is mental maturity.
Sure.
And I think for Denver Harris, if he can't figure it out with Jeff Traylor and his team, then it just won't happen for him. This is the third chance for him. 3 strikes, you don't get a 4th strike in baseball. So I'm looking for a huge year from Denver Harris.
Yeah, I think that, of course, former 5-star recruit, right, at A&M, dismissed for, it was along with him and Chris Marshall and a couple other guys.
A lot of guys.
Yeah.
Like half and then, of course, 22 recruiting class.
Right. And then, like, then there was that infamous video of him driving through the parking lot, the parking garage, speeding. And so it was like, there was, again, a lot of off-field issues with him. But the fact that Joe Price vouched for him, and I think the fact that he ended up at UTSA, right, that's an interesting spot where Jeff Traylor has run of that program. It's a stable situation, right? Not necessarily at A&M where you didn't know if Jimbo was getting fired and blah, blah, blah. He's at a program now surrounded by culture, surrounded by, he's on his last chance. So he knows that he has to ball out, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very interesting one because, one, it's not a guarantee, right? We've seen him bounce around A&M, LSU, and now UTSA. But we see the obvious upside. There's a reason why this guy was on the cover of our Rising magazine, right? Mm-hmm. When he was graduating from North Shore. So if he pays off, I mean, look out, right? He's going to be the best corner in the AAC if he ends up panning out.
But Jeff Traylor is that type of coach where he still operates as a high school coach from Texas.
Exactly.
So he is very involved in these players' lives.
I was about to say, you don't always, like, when you're in the high school level, you don't always get to dictate who comes through your program. So you have to learn to mesh with certain personalities, right? And so I guess that does play into a part of how, you know, in my opinion, that will benefit Denver Harris and hopefully UTSA as well. All right, Mallory, who's your first player?
I know. I'm going to go with Baylor wide receiver Ashton Hawkins.
I
don't know if you can necessarily call this a breakout player because he had a fantastic year last year. Caught 55 passes for 874 yards, 3 touchdowns at Texas State last season under G.J. Kinney. But what I love about this is that he's being reunited with Jake Spavital.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he fits absolutely perfectly in this offense. Now, if you remember, Baylor recently brought in Toledo's quarterback, Daquan Finn.
Yes.
And he threw for 2,600 yards and 22 touchdowns last season. Really, really strong at the quarterback spot. And with this new spread up-tempo-like offense that Jake Spavital's implementing into this Baylor team, I think that Ashton Hawkins is poised to have a breakout year. An even better year, I guess I should say, than last year.
Yeah, I like that a lot because even if he has the type of year he had last year, that still, in my opinion, qualifies as a breakout. Because
100%.
Doing that at Baylor, doing that in the Big 12, Baylor is in need of somebody to really take a next step in that wide receiver room. It feels like we're we're in, it feels like we're in year 10 of waiting for a Keyshawn Jackson or Monterey Baldwin.
Monterey Baldwin's been next up for a decade.
Yeah. And so it feels like we're constantly like trying to figure out. And so what Ashton Hawkins does, right? I don't know if he's going to be instantly the best player in that room. He's going to be among the best players. But what that does is that takes pressure off of a Baldwin, right?
Yes.
That takes just enough pressure off of a Jackson. And to where he's able to operate. I mean, he broke out under Jake Spavital, right? Jake Spavital's mm-hmm. final year. We actually saw him in that Baylor game. That kind of had his breakout performance. And that offense wasn't that good that year. It was just really him. He entered the transfer portal initially, and then, of course, he ended up coming back. But like you mentioned, he's now reunited with the coach that kind of realized his potential. Not the biggest guy, right, but he is able to just create separation mm-hmm. in a little bit of a poor man's Xavier Worthy type of way, right? Mm-hmm. He's not the most physical guy. He, of course, doesn't have the top end speed of a Worthy, but like that style, that similar of separation that he can have.
I'm going to compare Baylor's wide receiver core to SMU's from last year, where don't have
That's
a number
good.
One wide receiver, so everyone's going to have to eat and no one's going to get too full.
Right, right.
They
That's
need to
point.
Do a better job of spreading the ball around and just frankly stay healthy, because we joke about Monterey Baldwin not breaking out yet, but he's just constantly injured.
Yep.
Right? So, and Keytron Jackson Jr., I think he has the most number one capabilities out of that wide receiver core, but again, just injuries around there. So Craven's talked about it before. All those wide receivers jumped for joy when Jake Spavital came back to Baylor, none more so than Ashton Hawkins.
Yep. Hal Presley, of course, in that wide receiver room. And then Josh Cameron, who was somebody who was hurt last year a little bit as well, who was expected to be part of that room. So again, there's a lot of potential. They just got to stay healthy.
A wide receiver wearing number 34, Josh Cameron.
Yes.
So need to change that number if he's going to break out. I'm sorry. Can't get over it.
Fair enough. I guess I can agree with that. All right. So on my second one. Staying with the Texas State theme, this one is my off-the-radar one completely. It's Chris Dawn, formerly of Mesquite Horn. He was a late pickup for G.J. Kinney and that staff. This wide receiver room, we mentioned it, loses Ashton Hawkins. Of course, they bring back Joey Hobert, who's one of the best wide receivers in the state, probably the best FCS to FBS transfer, in my opinion, and one of the best in the country, definitely the best in the state. And of course, they have guys like Drew Donnelly coming back. They have, I'm forgetting a big name somewhere in there, but they have talent coming back.
Cole Wilson,
thank you. But that leaves, with Ashton Hawkins leaving, he doesn't play the same position as Ashton Hawkins. He'll be more of spelling for Joey Hobert. But with Ashton Hawkins leaving, that just creates kind of a shuffling, right? Somebody has to come into that next role, and so therefore other spots need to be filled. Every person I talked to, whether it was Joey Hobert, G.J. Kinney, Mac Leftwich at Texas State camp when I was there, mentioned Chris Dawn's name. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned him as somebody who they wanted to get on the field in some way. And he had like 27-ish yards, something like that last year. But they've mentioned him as somebody who's taken a big leap. G.J. Kinney's from Mesquite Horn. He jokes that was his initial first commit. was Mesquite Horn coming out of high school or going into high school. But so that's a hometown connection for him that he really feels passionate about. And I think Chris Dawn is somebody's name who, again, I don't think he's going to hit that 800-yard mark, but I could see him as somebody who the next season, 2020, after 2024, we're going to be like 2025. That guy's going to be awesome.
It doesn't seem like he's right behind Joey Hobert right now in slot.
Yes, he is going to be in that slot. I think they do have him in that slot role right now. But again, if they move Joey Hobert around a little bit more, right, because of Ashton Hawkins not being there, if they move him around to the X a little bit or whatever, or the Z, you know, whatever you want, that then feels, okay, they have the body to put there in the slot in Chris Dawn to be able to make up for that. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think that wide receiver room, similar to Baylor, interesting, right? Bo Sparks comes in from Utah Tech, same spot that Joey Hobert. Kylan Evans is a freshman. He enrolled, right? Him and Brad Jackson, the quarterback from San Antonio Reagan, I believe. They're the only two enrollees, which doesn't happen at the Group of Five level a lot. Mm-hmm. Kylan Evans is a bigger wide receiver that they just don't have. So, again, I'm betting on Chris Dawn, but that's another wide receiver room that's very intriguing to me.
All right, and my turn for the next breakout candidate.
Go for it.
This isn't a breakout candidate. This is where I took the polarizing debate.
Okay.
I'm going Richard Reese at Baylor.
Okay. I like it. He's somebody who broke out, but kind of.
He's already broken out.
He's already
broken. And then he broke back in.
I was about to say, but Baylor as a team kind of broke him back in.
He was the Big 12 Freshman of the Year 2 years ago. He had 900 yards, which I think was a Baylor rushing record for freshmen. Mm-hmm. He really emerged, and last year, we were talking about he is going to be the bell cow. Yeah. I actually was looking, when I was researching this, I searched up Richard Reese's name and I was scrolling through the internet and I saw a 2023 preview that said Reese is Baylor's bell cow. It was written in August 2023 and I said, man, what idiot wrote that? And it was me.
That was because the first thing he wrote, yeah.
His carries got cut to a third of what he had.
Yeah.
Dawson Pendergrass, a freshman, I wrote about Baylor's three-star RBU backfield with Richard Reese, Dawson Pendergrass, and Bryson Washington. Yes. Dawson Pendergrass was getting more carries than Richard Reese was last year. And I think part of it was that Richard Reese was injured in fall camp, and they had a lot of new linemen running that wide zone scheme, and he just wasn't meshing very well. But I don't know. How does Jake Spavadal, you think, use the running backs? Could you see him breaking back out?
Yeah, oh, 100%. So he does, his first year, they had about, I think, first or second year, they had two 500-yard rushers and about a 300. Again, it's not going to be, he's not going to be a bell cow like the in the wide zone, but somebody like a Lincoln Perry who broke out, Jake Spavadal's last year, I believe he had 700-ish yards. Their leading rusher, if he runs similar, the offense that they ran at Texas State, it's going to be kind of a by committee, two to three backs. Nobody's going to break, I think, 800 or 900 yards, but like you'll see 400 to 900-ish in there, divisions and between them.
That'll be perfect for Baylor because Dominic Richardson is still there.
Yeah.
Dawson Pendergrass, I could have easily put him as the breakout candidate.
Oh, sure. I was about to say, there's a reason why what did he have, 3,000 yards something at Mineola or something?
He was Mineola's team.
Yeah, but
he was Mineola.
He drug them to like, I think they made the playoffs barely, or like they maybe just barely missed the playoffs and he was the entire reason for that. So yeah, I like that. Jake Spavadal, again, very underrated run schemer, in my opinion. Of course, everybody knows him for the passing, but he does. Brock Sturges, Calvin Hill, Lincoln Perry. A lot of Texas State fans can remember good running backs being able to produce under that. Mm-hmm. All right, Mallory, who is your last one?
Okay, my last breakout player is Matthew Golden.
Matthew Golden, formerly at Houston.
I got something to say here.
Say it real quick.
Go ahead, say it.
No, me? Go ahead?
Yeah.
I just think Matthew Golden coming to Texas, it's huge.
Cheat code.
For Texas.
Cheat code.
But Sam Brown was the best receiver on Houston's team last year.
Fair enough.
That's fair.
I'll say that. Okay, Mallory, go ahead.
Okay, so with the exit of Jordan Whittington and Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell probably entering the NFL draft, they needed somebody who was like Xavier Worthy that's got that top-end speed and can break those defenses over the top.
Yeah.
And when Matthew Golden entered the transfer portal, I feel like Sark's eyes just lit up because they were like, that's exactly who we're looking for because he's going to be entering a wide receiver room that is kind of young. I mean, Jonte Cook's coming back, but it's a young wide receiver room. And they needed to hit the portal and find somebody who's already got that top-end speed that they're looking for, somebody who's got experience, somebody who did really well last season at a Power 4, I guess, school. And I think Matthew Golden is the perfect fit for Sark's offense.
I think he is. You look at this wide receiver room, I think Craven wrote about it a little bit before. They lose two NFL caliber wide receivers, probably at the very least two second round wide receivers.
After the combine, first round wide receivers.
Yeah, I was about to say, potentially late first.
seriously.
After the combine. But then they just reload it with you look at the projected starting, it's Isaiah Bond from Alabama, who was I think the best wide receiver pickup in the portal. And then you look at Silas Bolden, who people just forgot about Silas Bolden when they got Isaiah Bond. Silas Bolden was one of Oregon State's top receivers last year. Uh-huh. And then they added Matthew Golden, who was probably one of the best freshmen in the state last year.
100%.
And so they just reloaded overnight. By the way, Ryan Wingo, Jonte Cook, those are guys that we haven't mentioned yet. They're going to be in the rotation, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's not a lot of unknowns, right? Silas Bolden and Bond have production. Golden has production. But I agree that we're about to see potentially how good Matthew Golden could really be. Because like Carter mentioned, yes, Sam Brown is probably Houston's best receiver, but people also knew, we just got to watch that guy, right?
Matthew Golden has high potential.
Yes.
And he came in as the number one guy.
Yes.
So maybe Sam Brown benefited from that.
And maybe, somebody like Joseph Manjack benefited from that as well. And so instead of him benefiting others, right, he's going to be the one where it's everybody's going to be looking at Isaiah Bond. Right, everybody's gonna be looking at that. Well, we can't let the Bama wide receiver just come in and kill us because Sark was salivating when he got him too. And it's gonna be Matthew Golden's gonna be on a mismatch or something probably in coverage. And so very fascinated to see Matthew Golden because, yeah, Houston, when Dana Holgorsen got let go, everybody in Houston was like, we're probably losing Matthew Golden. Texas is just circling
the
water. Yeah, Texas is just circling the waters, and it's just like, ah, oh, geez. So, yeah, the fact that Matthew Golden's going to be their third option probably, and then guys like Ryan Wingo and Jonte Cook are going to be just like waiting in the wings to be like, oh, yeah, third down, their corner's tired. Here, Jonte, go out there and hit
him. When Ewers coming back, it's going to be scary.
It's going to be scary. So I can see Matthew Golden. I will say, it does shock me that Matthew Golden – I look at his numbers, and it does shock me that he did not have the year that I expect because of
That's why when Ballard brought it up, I love the pick, but also there's still a question.
So he had 400 yards and 6 touchdowns, which again,
it's good.
It's very good. In my mind, I thought he had like 800 yards because of how important he was
to
Houston.
The offense.
Yeah,
yes.
And so I was like, oh man. And I looked, I was like, oh, he only had like. But again, as a freshman,
I was gonna say he's young.
That's where that expectation comes for him taking the next step forward.
Well, the biggest impact I think he'll make, honestly, is in special teams. This is the return.
Yes, he's a dynamic
all conference punt returner, and that was a very underrated part of Xavier Worthy's game.
True,
was how game changing he was in the punt return, and then Keelan Robinson at kick returner. I think Matthew Golden takes over for both of those. One thing to watch with this Texas wide receiver room: they don't have a 6'4" Adonai Mitchell anymore.
Sure.
One of my favorite parts of the NFL Combine is where we see how boosted all their measurements are. So Adonai Mitchell is actually 6'2", and he's 6'4" in Texas.
I mean, to be honest, nobody was disagreeing with that when they saw him play. The way he's able to attack the jump ball, they're like, oh yeah, that guy's 6'4", right?
Exactly, but Texas now, all these transfers, Silas Bolden is 5'7".
Yeah.
Matthew Golden's 6' on Texas's roster, so probably 5'10".
Right.
Isaiah Bond's 5'11".
Yeah.
They're all very good, but is there that deep threat out there? Maybe it's Ryan Wingo, but he's also a high schooler right now, basically.
Yeah. So we'll see. It's something interesting to watch. So again, we may end up doing this exercise in a couple months after the transfer portal.
Another week.
Yeah, I was about to say. So yeah, I was about to say transfer portal opens in a week, which is terrifying. So so that'll do it for that segment. We will, in a little bit, we'll be talking to Matt Wilson of Between Two Bears. But Carter, I want to talk to you a little bit about our friends at Home Field Apparel. Did you watch the national championships?
Watch both national championships.
Did you see the merch drops that happened immediately after South Carolina and UConn won?
It was as the final buzzer sounded.
They had
the merch ready.
I don't know how they do it. I love it though. If you're not a fan of typically like a lot of the big brand championship merch that comes out, you know, the SI always used to have their, order now, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to worry. The good brand is on it because they have national championship merch, South Carolina, UConn. But of course, in relation to this show, you can use our promo code DCTF to get 15% off your first time purchase. Every other ROF show has their own promo code as well. They have Baylor, they have Texas, they have Texas Tech, they have Houston Christian. I have a dribbling Husky basketball shirt for Houston Christian University. They have Lamar. I have a hoodie with a cardinal on it, right? If you're a fan of any Texas program or most programs in the country, but specifically for this show, if you're a fan of a Texas program, they have plenty of merch. Again, promo code DCTF for 15% off your first time purchase. They also just like dropped like jerseys for the first time in a while, and then like shooting shirts. It's crazy. They have a lot. Vintage apparel done by the people that know your school and college sports the best.
Let's do an exercise real quick. Name a random school.
Let's go with Loyola Marymount.
Okay, so Loyola Marymount. I go to Homefield's website. I drop down schools. Go to L-O, Loyola.
Sorry, not Marymount, Loyola Chicago.
They've got Loyola Chicago right here.
I was thinking of the 30 for 30 with Loyola Marymount.
6 products right here I can choose from Loyola Chicago.
Look at that. There you go. Look at that. Loyola Chicago. Who else has that? All right, Mallory, let's go to our guest, our esteemed guest of honor. The first guest in the new studio, too. Matt Wilson of Between Two Bears on Twitter at Matt is Bear, a very adorable mascot bearhead as the avatar, who we also, I believe, is also on the graphic, on the phone graphic. Is that avatar, I believe, Mallory?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm a little bit more anxious than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the basketball side of things, but on the football side of things,
true.
I think I'm the perfect amount of anxious.
I was about to say, so that's going to be my first question is, obviously, I know this is a football show, but there's some news in basketball right now.
The fact we have him on as this broke last night.
So we're
sound tired.
For those that do not know, that are uninitiated to the world of basketball, let me take you first to the background of the Hilltop at SMU. Because this is where it all started.
It's the domino meme.
It's the domino meme. It's the little domino meme of SMU saying, we're moving to the ACC. We don't want Rob Lanier as our head coach. So we're going to go get Andy Enfield from USC, who were also kind of okay with letting him go. USC says, cool, we're going to go get super Andy Enfield at Arkansas with Eric Musselman. Arkansas then says, who's another big name coach that's kind of on the way out? Oh, John Calipari. By the way, he's friends with Tyson, the literal Tyson meat man, whatever you want to call him.
Tyson Nuggies.
They throw a bunch of nuggies in the air, it turns into money, and they pay John Calipari. Now Kentucky's looking for a coach, and they're like, hey, let's get Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan's like, I'm in the NBA, I don't want to leave. They're like, let's get Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley's like, I'm probably not going to leave unless you throw me a ton of money. So they're like, well, let's just go to Waco. Let's just go see what Scott Drew is up to. And right now it feels like we're in that critical period of, is it going to happen? Is it not? Matt, what are you feeling right now?
What am I feeling? Oh boy. I mean, Scott Drew has the opportunity here to choose between immortality, statues, the love of everyone in the alumni base, being the most successful and most loved coach of the entire athletic department history.
Yes.
Or upwards of, I've seen reportedly between $9 and $11 million, and being stressed every day for the rest of his coaching life. That's up to him. It's whatever he wants, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm feeling mostly confident he will return. Scott Drew in Kentucky doesn't seem like the best, how do we say, emotional, spiritual fit even.
Right.
But money is money, and Scott Drew could see this as a new, quote, challenge. So between seeing reports that an offer has been made, an offer hasn't been made yet, Dan Hurley's at the top of the list, he's not at the top of the list. Nobody really knows anything at this point. I would reckon we figure out today on Wednesday what happens, and I hope it happens soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, you see a lot of lists out right now. We see he's their target. Dan Hurley's still their top target, so it feels like now, today, then with the next couple of days, going to be their where we kind of iron all that out. Like you mentioned, Scott Drew, if you ever met Scott Drew, he is a man who, let's just say, without getting into specifics, fits very much at Baylor and kind of what they're about. And so I think we'll see. Obviously, it's going to be a very rocky time there in Waco, unfortunately.
Well, Matt, the good news for you is your football head coaching situation is very stable. So much so
you had to bring another former head coach
and then also switch back to defensive coordinator, essentially. What'd you think of that arrangement coming up for next year?
I think it's probably what needed to happen. I was tentative to be the most optimistic about bringing in a first-time defensive coordinator. And we kind of saw the results of that, right, with Pollage. Now Pollage has moved to more of an assisting role, and Aranda apparently has been more hands-on, even more in spring practices. And apparently that's going quite well. Still some personnel questions up front for me, but it feels like what needed to happen. If you were going to bring in massive quotes, you know, this defensive mastermind, and who has been successful in the past in a hands-on role, that's probably where he should be, right?
Yeah, no, I feel like, I mean, they're basically taking the other responsibilities and saying, hey, here's an offensive guy who's been the head coach before who can handle a lot of that, and saying, Dave, focus on more of the things that made you great and led you to helping us win a Big 12 title, and then Jake will worry about the other
things. Go into the film room and work your black magic on the defense.
Exactly.
Bingo.
Because the defense has not been good when it's just been Matt Pallage and more or less in the room by himself. So go in there and help. Okay, so I do have a question about, I know you're not too in the weeds as we are recruiting, but Baylor's hit the ground pretty well in a way that Dave Aranda has not done in his brief tenure, especially, of course, without Joey McGuire and a lot of those guys that went to Tech. That kind of infrastructure left, and Baylor was, I don't want to say flounder. Floundering is the wrong word, but they didn't hit the portal as hard as they need. They probably should have. The on-the-ground high school recruiting kind of lost some momentum. But now, class 2025, Keenan Hall, a guy like Jake Spavadal coming in with his scheme. What have you seen? Does that provide excitement and kind of optimism in a space where Dave Aranda was kind of showing his weakness a little bit?
I think what this team needed, this team had the enough zen, enough intellectual approach to the game, which is absolutely necessary. You get that from Aranda. You got that from Jeff Grimes. We're going to break this down as a conceptual exercise and do football in this particular way. We needed some Ricky Bobby, some just time to go fast, right? Yeah, gotta go fast. And, and I think we brought in the right guy to do that.
Yeah.
It's bad at all. So you look at a Michael Craig, and you look at what Keytron Jackson has done in spring, and it's been encouraging. And apparently my 2-year-old is very excited about this.
I was about to say, 2-year-old, I love what,
yeah,
what
exactly.
Everybody's doing there.
So you look at some of the reports coming out of spring practices, and the speed is working.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
You look at some of the personnel, and it just seems to fit better. A lot of the big recruits have been receivers.
Sure.
And they never really got a chance to show that off.
Yeah.
So I think in this offense, you'll start to see more of that. You bring in an Ashton Hawkins, you have Michael Trigg. Things could get interesting on the offensive side.
Yep.
For sure.
Matt, we've talked about it on this show today, but spring football is Kool-Aid season. So who's someone on Baylor through spring practice you're just sipping the Kool-Aid for? You think they have a breakout year coming up?
I mean, I've mentioned his name, Michael Trigg, mainly because he has the support of Clives for some reason. I don't know how those two are connected, but the rapper Clives is really big on Michael Trigg.
Okay.
Don't ask me why.
Clives is...
If anybody has connections to Clives, please get him on Between Two Bears. We need it to happen.
We will try to hook you up with Clives. I'll say that much. I didn't know that that was a connection that Michael Trigg had.
and I still don't know how, but it's there.
Okay.
So,
okay. I like that.
I think breakout, I mean, Keytron Jackson is, you saw it a little bit.
Yeah.
Last year, right? Is there somebody that can deliver him the ball in his massive catch radius?
Yep.
More than once every other game?
Okay.
That's what I would like to see, personally. And if you look at the quarterback, quote, competition right now,
mm-hmm.
Sawyer Robertson has apparently played very, very well this spring.
Okay.
They're not asking Daquan Finn to run a lot, but we know that he can do that.
Yeah.
It really depends on which quarterback they go with, I think. But I look for this wide receiver room to pop as a whole.
Yeah. All right. Last question from me before we let you go. Obviously, as Carter mentioned, it's a very stable coaching situation there, right? There's no issues at all with Dave Aranda's job security at all.
Oh, boy.
But what does this season have to look like? Is it 8 wins in this new Big 12, 7? What does it have to be for everybody to roll into 2025 hands?
For it to be more stable.
Hands, for it to be more stable and
it's
more
stable, secure. But even stabler.
Yeah, we need more stable. For everybody to roll in with hands in hand, skipping as they go into 2025.
Hands in hand, skipping has to be in contention for a spot in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
Late into the season.
Sure, sure. Okay.
More stable, a bowl game and a bowl win would go a long way towards that. But I think comfortably in a bowl and a bowl win is where everybody feels good.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe not everybody, but most people feel good. Hey, we're back to being relevant. We're back to being successful. This was a successful season. I don't think a 6-6 does that, even with a bowl win on top of it. I think a 7-win season plus a bowl win,
yeah.
8 is, I think, like you mentioned, 8 is about where I think most people start to feel good again.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think that's about the range, in my opinion. All right, Matt Wilson, I'm going to let you leave and tend to that very excited 2-year-old.
Oh, boy.
And hope and continue to pray around your shrine of Scott Drew that he indeed does stay this whole time. Go ahead. Okay, if you're listening to this, if you have not listened to Between Two Bears with him, Evan, and Producer D, do so. It is fantastic.
Awesome.
I was on their giant tournament show, which was just stupid, crazy fun, which I loved. It was a 2-hour, way too long of an episode over college basketball, but I did not care. I was having a blast. They do a great job with the ROF Network and continue to, they have a Patreon as well, if I'm not mistaken, right? You guys have a Patreon?
We do, yeah. Gonna take this off season, look to do some cool stuff with historical games, or maybe some video game streaming, and a lot of weird stuff that is right up our alley. And hey, yeah, that bracket show was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it was way too long, but hey, at least we got most of our picks wrong.
we also got most of our picks wrong, so that is also a benefit of listening to the show.
Hey, think about it.
You will have fun. You will have fun. You will not necessarily be entertained, or you not necessarily be educated. You will be entertained, I should say. So there you go. Yeah. But Between Two Bears, Matt is Bear on Twitter. Matt Wilson, thank you. Appreciate you, buddy. And we'll talk to you soon. And I will send you a big congratulatory text when Scott Drew announces a lifetime contract at Baylor.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Matt. Bears.
All righty. There was Matt Wilson. Again, if you have not listened to Between Two Bears, probably the most entertaining podcast that we, including our own, I will willingly say, those guys are
we will see the floor.
Yeah, they're very entertaining. They know Baylor, all Baylor sports, by the way, not just Baylor football, but basketball. Matt actually does coach his, I believe one of his kids' little league teams for basketball, so he really is into hoops, so yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like, well, as we wrap up the show, it does seem like it is kind of a, obviously we joke about stable, right? It's a very rocky situation there, but it seems right now that all the signs are pointing in the right-ish direction for, again, it's spring, Kool-Aid season, but this wasn't a thing that we were saying last year about Baylor.
If there was anybody that can make this scenario and this situation work, it's Dave Aranda.
Yes.
And his personality type.
100%, 100%, 100%. Alrighty, so with that being said, thanks for joining us on our first show in the new studio.
This milestone
is
awesome.
Milestone moment. This is awesome. Of course,
you guys look pretty good up there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You look pretty good in there.
Yeah.
And so a little bit of college touch, by the way. Texas State's on that wall over there. You probably can't see it on the camera, but it's right there. I think it's London Harris, and I'll have to look up who else. That might be Torrey Spears. I can't remember. But I was trying to figure out what year that was from so I can look up the numbers. But we got some cool little art in here. So this is really
cool. The Rutgers
cool.
beanbags right behind you,
Rutgers beanbag. Oh, my God. We got the Rutgers beanbag.
We couldn't fill that shelf behind you without the Rutgers beanbag. I mean, that's a staple in the Dave Campbell's merch.
Exactly. So, yeah, we got placements for a lot of our memorabilia. Current magazine will be up there. The first ever Dave Campbell's Texas Football magazine is right there. So it's a new studio. It's a new day. It's a new era for this company. We're very excited. Thank you guys for joining us. Remember, promo code DCTF for Home Field Apparel. Subscribe, like, rate, watch us on any podcast platform. Listen to all the shows on the Republic of Football. We have some exciting stuff potentially coming in the pipeline with the Republic of Football Network. Please stay tuned. Thank you for watching us wherever you did. And we will see you guys next week.